This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. What a Monday we've got. What a sports week ahead we've got. It's Thanksgiving week, and it'll be family and friends, and hopefully a lot of food. And John's back at the table. So that's great, too, especially on Thanksgiving week. The whole family is here in the Leaders Credit studio, and John's back. George is here as well. We always love having George as part of the family here, executive producer on the ones and twos today, as Brad is off on some college visits for Jake, and that's always a special time. And so we're all here. It's all family, and boy, there's some opportunities today. We've got Grizz and Tigers both in action. I guess I probably should have said Tigers, considering the opportunity in front of them. 1:30 today. We were talking about last week. We're going to hear some John Martin play-by-play, hopefully, as the Tigers tip off in Maui against the defending national champions two times. Two times. Put some respect.
Yeah.
No doubt. Put some respect on the defending champs. And then we got Grizzlies and the news there, besides the fact that they're back on the floor tonight against Portland Trailblazers, that Ja Morant. So not just you back at the table. Hopefully
right.
Ja Morant going to be at the table. And Desmond Bane's going to be at the table. George going to be at the table. We're going to have a little mashed potatoes, guys.
I would not share a table with me right now in terms of like food and
as long as we've got this plastic glass in front of you.
Bear with me today. My entire household has been turned on its head this week. It has been a nightmare, as people know with kids. When you get sick and then the kids get sick, it is a doom loop that you feel like you're never getting out of. So I'm coming out of it. My children are in and out of it, and my mother-in-law is in it. Sam has been in and out of it. So, yeah, like the official diagnosis was RSV. So, you know, it's that upper respiratory, you know. Again, I'm getting through it. But it's been a very trying week for sure. And it's going to be a trying week for the Memphis Tigers because their season really gets kicked off a little later today against UConn and the Huskies. We'll talk about that. I mean, this is potentially the greatest test of Penny Hardaway's coaching career today. I mean, this is probably, you think about the Houston games, those were certainly always big tests, but...
Well, Houston was ranked number one.
Yeah. This is a little different in that this is the back-to-back reigning champs, so it's even above that. So I think this is Penny Hardaway's arguably greatest opportunity as a coach, you know, to get the best win of his career, just in terms of the brand he's up against, right? Not necessarily the team itself, but the brand,
yeah,
and what it would represent.
Houston was for an AAC title,
yeah.
But I'm with you in terms of where this would,
yeah,
this would put the rest of college basketball certainly on alert. Now
yes.
The level of alert to be determined.
Yes,
but yes, you really made some noise with a win over the two-time defending champ. Now they haven't played anybody.
They have not.
There's reasons to believe Memphis could play well. Is the point?
Definitely.
And that win over Kelvin was big, obviously getting that AAC tournament title. But
yes.
I'm with you. Now, Brad and I, we discussed it. You were here. We discussed it last week. This will be arguably his biggest win,
yeah,
if he can get it to them.
Yeah. So, anyway, we will discuss all of that, what's on the line for Memphis today as they get ready to take on the back-to-back reigning champion UConn Huskies. How about this? I got one for you as we talk about this.
8.5? What's the latest?
We're going to call it 9.
It's 9, okay.
We're going to call it 9.
I want to be right on tip-off line.
So, you know, again, I'm writing a column on this, so I'm not betting it. You know, I'm separating those two things, but
well, thank you for that.
Here's a stat for you. UConn in its last 38 non-conference games is 37-1. They've lost one non-conference game in the last 38. And in those 37 wins, they have won every single one of them by double digits.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I remember that last year. Remember that stat last year. Double-digit stat.
That is how dominant these Huskies are and have been. Now, we could also say that those two teams in the last 38 games of the last, what, one and a half seasons, I guess that'd be two full seasons, really, of non-conference games, close enough, probably much better than this UConn Husky team. This UConn Husky team lost Cam Spencer. They lost Donovan Klingon. They lost Tristan Newton. And, you know, they have some potentially good pieces on it, but unproven, certainly. And their schedule, as you mentioned to this point, is not convincing or fooling anybody. I mean, they've played, you know, 300-level KenPom teams, and they've destroyed them, but that means nothing. So, you know, if there is a year to get them and a chance to get them, it does feel like it would be today and now for Memphis, but we'll talk about that. How realistic is that,
yep.
You know, and Memphis's upset chance. So we'll do all that today on the show. Jeff Cogg is going to join us at 125, Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock. I'm looking forward to Mike McCarthy receiving one because that would be the right thing to do because of the beautiful win that they got on the road in Washington. I just don't know if I'm going to get that from you today. It just seems unlikely.
No.
Mike McCarthy going to go hungry.
No, I mean, but I told you Washington was figured out.
Yeah.
Told you that last week before you got out of here.
That was a tough loss. That was a tough loss for them. And I don't even think, I mean.
And we said it that up until the end of that, what was it, the Houston game? That they had played relatively well defensively.
Yeah.
And that really this offense for the Commanders sort of been figured out. Now, Jaden played pretty well. He still had, what, two picks?
Yeah.
So ended up costing them. But what is this three in a row for the Commanders? They've been, you know, that, and this is what used to happen to Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona teams.
Yes. Yes.
They would peak early, and then everybody'd figure them
That's
out.
That's right.
And then they'd crash.
That's right.
They'll still make playoffs, though, I would think.
Yes. We do have some changes in some ways to the NFL draft order, which is very exciting for at least one of us here.
Well, all of a sudden, I'm up in that, too.
Yeah, you're in the mix. Maybe you guys
I think
go
it's a
quarterback.
Good five losses in a row, so we may as well join you.
Yeah, just start on all over, man.
Can we get up for Travis? Can we get up there? We can't get that high with four wins, right?
No, because you got the Jags. You got
there's
us,
too many in that jumble.
And then the Giants.
Georgia's Jets in there somewhere?
I think they could be.
They are.
Okay.
Three wins.
We're all kind of in the mix, but you two specifically.
Well, they're about to bench Rodgers, so.
Y'all need quarterbacks, both of you.
Yeah.
You will be drafting QBs.
The Jets will
you
be.
You have
the,
to
yes,
have one.
There's no doubt.
So do you.
And I will tell you, there's one quarterback who really concerned me over the weekend with their performance. In terms of college, in terms of the guy that I don't want anymore.
Particular NFL quarterback.
That I like. If they draft, I will not be excited about. It's not Shadur, as you know. It's Shadur. Shadur is my man. I'm all in on Shadur. But there was a quarterback whose stock I thought took a plummet a little bit this weekend. So anyway, we'll get into all that on the show today. But Maui. A little Maui action.
9:30 in the morning out there, too.
9:30 in the morning.
For this tip.
1:30 our time. You've been to Maui.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what the experience is like.
Yeah, Lahaina Civic Center, I think it's called.
Lahaina Civic Center.
I think, yeah.
You know, get your ukuleles out. Get your...
Well, it was a 1-2 trip for me. We discussed that last
week.
That's
right. That's right. Well, hopefully...
Georgetown and Michigan took them down. They beat Tennessee.
Hopefully, it'll be a little bit better for, you know, Munns and Parth. We'll see what they can come back with. But, you know, the first challenge for Memphis is a big one. It's UConn and Dan Hurley and a pedigree of back-to-back two-time champions. Memphis is a 9-point underdog. They opened around 9.5, 10, so the money has come in on the Memphis Tigers in this matchup today. We talked about it a little bit last week before the plague hit my home. The biggest individual matchup in this game to me is Jourdain versus Alex Caravan.
Well, Jourdain, who's, you know, been in and out of foul trouble all year long.
Yes.
So, this is obviously his biggest challenge.
Yes. So if Jourdain can stay in the game and
big if.
Check Caravan relatively as much as possible. I think Memphis is very live because the one thing that UConn I feel like does not have this year is overwhelming guard play. They just don't. Like they, Hassan Diarra and Solomon Ball are just, they're good. but they're a step below what we're used to seeing from the UConn program. They just are. Not saying that they can't be great by January or February, but again, you know, I don't think there's this big edge that UConn has over Memphis at that position, which is a big advantage, right? That's that's a thing to build on, an attack maybe. But if Caravan is just, because there's, like, I just don't know who's behind Jourdain, right? I just don't know who would even take that assignment. If Jourdain can't stay on the floor, it would be really tough. You start bringing Moose out, you know. I don't think Dane is the guy, you know, for that
Dane's
job.
Dane's got his hands full with the big 6'10 kid, Reed.
Yeah, Terrace Reed, exactly. So
from Michigan.
Yeah, right. Yep. So, look, I think that nine is a little much, is what I would say. If I was betting it, I would be on Memphis here. UConn first half, -4.5 is would also be the other bet I make. But look, for Penny Hardaway, I think the bigger picture here, regardless of matchup, is Memphis has gone very quiet in their 4-0 start. It's been you know, has not been largely noticed by the national media. And you beat this UConn team that we talked about, 37-1 their last 38 non-conference. It's going to send a very loud message.
Let's talk about what Memphis has done well, and that's defend. You know, if you're going to have a chance in this game, because obviously most of college basketball is going to expect you to go out and maybe even get thumped the way UConn handles non-conference opponents, typically by double digits. But Memphis, number 25 defensively in the country, and that's what's kept them in games even through the first halves in which they've struggled offensively. And hopefully, again, here's the key to me. UConn hasn't played since last Tuesday. Memphis obviously gets that game against San Francisco before you go out there. And John mentioned it, all you've played are cupcakes. This is a 9:30 a.m. game out there. There's a chance, right, if you can overcome what's clearly been a characteristic of your basketball team, slow starts, if you can be the first to punch, and I know it sounds cliche-ish, but it feels more real in this case in terms of your opportunity to do that. If Memphis can come out early and sort of catch this UConn team still in bed this morning, this UConn team that hadn't played since last Tuesday and all it's been is cupcakes, and you use that pressure, you use what you've consistently been able to do, which is turning teams over. John just mentioned it. The guard play hadn't been great. It's a level down from where they've been the last couple of years as national champions. Now, will that come into, you know, will they develop and be fine come right? That's what I believe in about Hurley coach teams.
Yep.
But maybe you can catch them. If there's a time, this would be the spot. The key is you've got to be better at something that's been an issue for you, which is the early, which is the first shot, which is not falling behind. You do that in this game, you let them get comfortable. You know, UConn's going to do what UConn does. It feels like what the line's out to 9 now. I mean, that might be where we're headed. However, it does feel like there's an opportunity for Memphis to go out, hit the first shot, do what you've been doing well all season, throw that pressure on them, maybe get UConn a little bit discombobulated while they're sleepwalking, get out to a good start, because, John, in the second half, they're averaging 49.5 points. Like, for whatever reason, whatever's being said at halftime, whatever adjustments are being made, they've been fantastic at the half. So if they can just lick this issue,
yep,
again, of sort of waiting on that shot and falling behind in it. You know, last game is just 6 field goals in the first half. You avoid that, you got a chance. And so it doesn't feel like it's outside the realm of possibility here.
Definitely not.
Especially with the way things have lined up. You have played. You just got one in against San Francisco. And, again, barring that your guys are still in the bed, this is still a 9:30 start for both of you.
Yep.
Maybe there's a chance here to get off to an early start, show UConn some pressure that they certainly, this team has not seen this season with the cupcakes they've played, and you get off, you know, maybe at halftime, we're feeling good about Memphis's chances.
Yeah.
And certainly of making a decent statement. What you don't want to do, John, is get clobbered, right? You play well here.
Right.
I mean, we're all, you know, many have had this sort of circled as a scheduled loss.
Yeah.
You play well here, that can still be a good thing for you as well.
Yeah.
And you get Colorado, Michigan State, you know, the loser, what, tomorrow?
So,
try to go 2-1.
Torvik's got it 3. KenPom's got it 7.
It's out to 7. KenPom had it 6. It's out to 7.
Yeah.
Kind of matching that line.
So, kind of interesting that,
Torvik's got it 3.
Yeah, he's got it 75-72.
That 9:30 start, man, just gives the underdog, it feels like to me, and, you know, the chance for an advantage.
Yeah.
And again, they haven't played since last Tuesday.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a step up for both, right? It's a step up for both of these teams. It's a bigger step up for UConn, but obviously, like, they're not going to be intimidated by
of course not.
Memphis. Memphis, although the 4-0 record is impressive and better than anybody would have expected, it's not like it. You know, there's not been a really good, San Francisco, if you want to say, but they're pick what, fourth in the WCC? Like,
yeah, but it's still three top 100 KenPom teams.
Yeah.
It's a lot better than what, and yes. You know, a lot of teams have faced in college basketball.
No doubt.
And you would just a caveat, they faced two top 10 teams in the preseason. You know, having those experiences, certainly.
Right.
Hopefully a good thing for Memphis, too, that you're not intimidated by Brand, certainly,
right.
or you know, Hurley over there yelling and screaming, you know, national championship coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
you got that. I mean, you've played these four, and you're right. You know, how much of it's notable? How many of those are NCAA tournament teams? Yeah, it doesn't look all that great.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got the two tests against North Carolina and Alabama. I think that can obviously help you, you know, especially from a confidence standpoint that you're not intimidated by a brand or a name.
Yeah.
Again, so key to me is that you avoid what's been pretty characteristic so far, unfortunately, is those slow starts and getting behind.
Yeah, like I just feel like anecdotally here, and I don't have the numbers. I'd love to have the numbers. Maybe one day I'll go get them. But in the games, Jason, where Penny has been a 9, 10, 11-point dog, there haven't been many. But the ones that come to mind, Houston there in 21-22.
What was the line in Gonzaga second round?
It was 10.
It had to be.
It was 10.
I thought so. Okay.
I was going to say
that.
How many
more could there have been?
You know, there might have been some other
Double
Houston
digit,
games.
Yeah.
But I feel like he is like almost spotless in terms of having his team ready to compete and play, you know, with those
Dude,
teams.
You
in
got
those
an
games.
Opportunity to stop the nation's longest win streak. I know it doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people because, you know, they're 4-0 this year, but it goes back to last year. It's 17 straight games. Again, an opportunity to make college basketball sort of sit up and say, okay, well, got to start putting, you know, giving Memphis some votes, certainly the AP voters. You know, you go out and do this. But, you know, also an opportunity still, even if you lose this game, to go 2-1. And I think that especially if you to capitalize on this 4-0 start, which,
mm-hmm.
John, I don't know, if I asked you before the season, the way you were talking about in terms of how difficult you thought that non-conference was, you say, okay, 4-0, if you add a 2-1 to that,
mm-hmm.
you can be in really good position coming out of this thing for the rest of the non-conference. I mean, you've
mm-hmm.
set yourself up pretty good to have a successful non-conference
exactly.
Slate here if you can get, you know, pull off a 2-1 even with a loss to UConn.
What were they? I assume they were not they were 7.5-point underdogs against Texas A&M last year, not quite double digits. But still.
And never in those Ole Miss games were they double digits. And
no.
Virginia and Clemson last year weren't good enough to be double-digit underdogs, too, right? And those games
yeah.
were here, so those certainly, you wipe those off.
So I think you got to.
And I don't know how many, you mentioned those Houston games. How many, certainly not the title game, the AAC title game, because I think even though they were number one in the country, Shedd was out.
Uh-huh.
And so there wouldn't have been double-digit underdogs in that game, certainly. So I go back to what you said to start it.
Alabama? Would they have been double digit?
Maybe.
2 years ago?
Maybe.
They lost by three?
Maybe.
I think that would have.
But what's clear is it's a few. It's what
seven
you said
and a
initially.
Half, not quite 10. But that, like when Penny. When
a couple of times.
When he's getting
maybe.
8, 9, 10 points a game, man. He does not get run off the floor. His teams just don't get blown
Which
out.
Which is, when is he, you know.
As a dog.
When they've played big time teams, they've usually performed well.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 10 on Gonzaga at the half.
Yep. Yeah, see, at Houston, when they were number two in the country, 22-23, they were 15.5-point underdogs. They only lost by 8. Was Kendrick not playing? Kendrick must have been hurt that game. Did Kendrick?
That's during the regular season at Houston?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Kendrick must have been hurt, and they still covered 15.5. So.
I want to say they did hold him out of one of those, didn't they?
Yeah.
Was the ankle?
Yeah. So.
We were hopeful he could go, but didn't.
Yeah,
like that.
I guess that was because he came back the next one. But again, they covered that one as well. So, point being, Penny Hardaway is one of the best coaches in America.
Yeah,
as a double digit underdog, he just is.
Right, I get it.
And he's not quite that. He's not quite that against UConn here today. But I feel very confident in this. I feel very confident in that Memphis is not going to be run off the floor by this UConn.
Well, you
team.
Need the Dane Danger that you just got. You know, the Dane Danger that was such a difference maker down the stretch in that San Francisco game, that stayed on the floor, that hit free throws, because, again, if he's played off the floor, Jordan's already going to have his hands full in terms of with Caravan, and you can't depend on Musa for offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, And we could talk about Tyrese and PJ being banged up, and they've still got to lead you. But it's really, to me, you need the Dane Danger that you got against San Francisco. You weren't here Friday. We talked about it. That dude was the story of the game. And again, he went 6 of 7 from the free throw line down the stretch. Huge offensive rebounds. The San Francisco bigs could not guard him. And so if he can be a factor tonight, you know, and keep, you know, Reed's hands full, whoever they use to guard him, that it feels like it's going to have to be key to beat a team like this. You need that Dane Danger that you finally saw the potential of what you expected when you signed him up.
Yep.
You know, you saw it there against San Francisco. That needs to continue. Hopefully he could be like that this whole trip.
Absolutely. It's a great test for Memphis. If Memphis finds a way to finish 2-1 this week, I'm very pleased.
Is Michigan State winning? Are they beating Colorado? Because I'm curious if Memphis does lose, you expect them to get Colorado tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Although, I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, it's not Michigan State doesn't look like this incredible outfit. So, you know, I guess anything is possible in that game. But that would be my guess. That would be my guess that Michigan State moves on. Although I'm sure the point spread will be a little closer than.
I saw 8.5 this morning. So it may have
Ken Pom's got it 3.
Wow.
For those two.
8.5 was right.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's been weird, man. Just the deviation between the early KenPom numbers and the market has been pretty drastic. I mean, you're seeing spreads that are 5-6 points off and you're like, "What the hell? What am I missing?" And it's just like, I don't know, KenPom and Torvik are weighing things a little heavier than the market
is. Still 8.5. At least at ESPN Bet it is.
The market's been far more right on these. Like when you see the, you know, 5-point deviations, it's justified typically.
Colorado's 4-0. I'm assuming they haven't played anybody.
Yeah, that would be my guess. They're 68 at KenPom. Michigan State's 44. So listen, it's gonna be a great week of basketball. You know, and for Memphis,
it's fun to be back in one of these.
Dude, I saw.
I mean, I guess we were last year too, and you felt really good about it for a while when you were going to the championship game.
Well,
you got
the
Bahamas, smacked up by Villanova.
Yeah. No, I mean,
because historically Memphis has been bad.
That's when it started.
Penny last year went 2-1.
That's exactly when it all started. That you started to be like, I remember tweeting, this team is different. You know.
Oh, it felt like it on their way to the championship game.
They beat Arkansas. Like,
now,
okay.
Now those teams ended up being exactly. Nothing. Those wins ended up being nothing. Villanova ended up not being good.
100%. So this Maui field enters play today with a combined. I'm talking about everybody. 31-2. They're 31-2. Six. There's only 39 unbeaten in the country. Six of them are in this field.
The first round game of the first round is Auburn Iowa State.
Yeah,
that's a heck of a matchup.
Yeah,
that's 4-5 in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's
first. I mean, I'd be mad if I'm Bruce Pearl.
Number one at KenPom.
Be mad if you know I'm mad if I'm Iowa State. I got to see Auburn in the first round.
Yeah. So listen, it's going to be a fun week of basketball. We're gonna learn a lot about Memphis. There's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, this is the best team they have played since how long?
Since number one in the country.
Since Houston.
Yeah.
Which is
for sure. AP had Houston number one in the country, even though Shed was.
What
not
year would that have been?
It was the end of it was Kendrick's year, right? It was the AAC tournament final.
When they
was that 23?
It was yeah.
They
was
were
it,
number one in the country.
Was it Shed or Sass or one of the two? Yeah, one
maybe
of the
it
two.
Was Sass. It was Brad got me on Shed and I agreed, but it probably was
Sasser.
One of the two was
the
out.
He held him out for that championship game.
Sasser.
And yeah. So you think that team without Sasser is better than this UConn team? They probably are.
I'm just talking about in terms of ranking.
But you got to go back 2 years.
Yeah.
You got to go back 2 years for a game that was this significant for the University of Memphis. And so, yeah, it's a big stage for the Tigers. I expect them to show very well. You know, a win is one thing, but I still think that, you know, they're firmly a tournament team as of today, 4 games into the season, which means absolutely nothing. It didn't mean anything 17 games into the season. But you find a way to go 2-1 this weekend in Maui. It'll be as good as mission accomplished for me, and you can feel really good about, you know, the rest of all of this coming back against Louisiana Tech, Arkansas State. Still got a lot, though. Still got, I mean, Clemson, Virginia, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. I mean, you still got 4 more after Maui that are, you know, potentially, you know, building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
National media loves Ole Miss, you know, for some reason, even though they have done absolutely nothing. So, You know, again,
what about Virginia, though? Didn't I just see them get clocked?
Yeah, they're bad.
Was it Tennessee? Somebody clocked
them. They lost to both Tennessee and St. John's. Yeah. 22 and 25.
I'm not impressed.
Yeah. They did beat Villanova, though.
I'm wanting, that'll be a good road win.
Yes.
I'm stressing the win on that. Memphis needs to go there and get that W.
Exactly. So, anyway, KenPom has that as a 69-64 home loss for Virginia.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of, I feel like Memphis is going to go in there favored.
That's not how you keep the job if you're Ron Sanchez.
Oh, he won't be keeping the job.
That's not how you get the interim tag removed.
I think they're already concerned.
Yeah. We had more firings in the AAC. Everybody is getting fired.
It's because there's a standard in this league.
In the American. So we'll get to
that. People want to meet.
Memphis football plays on Thanksgiving. Are you thankful?
Bears, too.
Are you thankful?
I'm thankful that that we'll have football on Thanksgiving.
Okay. The NFL slate is egregious.
All right, I'll be thankful for a Memphis win. Is that what you're trying to
I can't
insinuate?
On the basketball team?
No, Memphis Tulane football Thanksgiving Day.
Well,
they're going to surprise us. Ryan Silverfield's biggest win.
I did say, I already bet Memphis plus 14. So,
of course. Yeah, I understand that.
You know, I don't know if they win, but
you're only concerned with who covers.
That's right. Who do you feel better
about?
He's
not a fan anymore of sport. He's a fan of covers.
Who do you feel has a better chance of covering of the Memphis teams? UConn versus UConn or Tulane?
Oh, clearly the Memphis Tigers, who were 25th in the country in defense. Penny Hardaway looking like the Memphis teams of old.
Okay, you like the plus 9 better than the plus 14.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Tulane could drub us.
Okay.
What are we playing for? The Birmingham Bowl?
It's Seth's last game, dude. It's his last regular season game.
What's the one in Boston? Feels like where we're headed.
The
Fenway Bowl.
Fenway.
Like they play in Fenway or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put us in a baseball field.
We can't go back to the Liberty Bowl, right?
I don't think you. Yeah, I don't think so.
This is our Super Bowl.
It is. That's
unfortunately.
You get a chance.
At Tulane.
Yeah.
The Ryan Silverfield era. What fun.
I have thoughts.
As he's locking in.
Because I saw a Giannotto tweet.
Bro, if he messes around and it gets this 2 year for 10 regular season wins, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. There's a Giannotto tweet I want to run by you. I don't know if you saw it, but I want to run it by you.
Did it say Memphis is still in it?
No, it did not.
Okay, thank
God. Maybe we can do that a little bit later in the show today. But Memphis, UConn. It'll go off at 1:30 here. We'll be talking to Jeff Calkins
and watching the game though.
As it tips off. You'll have it there on your
Now I'm gonna turn it to you. So you can get Calkins the play by play. You're the college basketball play by play guy.
That's
analyst
right.
guy.
That's right.
Expert.
But we'll do all that throughout the course of the show today. Stick around. Jason and John, Trying to FM, ESPN.
Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers, you can get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. Can certainly do it tonight. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page right there where you place your bets. They make it very easy, very convenient for you over at FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith to join today. You'll get started again with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's at FanDuel.com/JSMITH. Never waste a hunch. And make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL and of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Ja Morant, for him we stand. He's coming back like he never left. Let's hope that he stays around a little longer this time. What is he? He's coming back a little later today.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
List is questionable.
That's the way it goes, right?
You know that dance.
You climb the injury ladder.
Typically.
Right? You go doubtful, then you go questionable.
I think Smart was technically questionable last game.
Right.
Didn't play, but you know how this goes.
And is Smart in or out?
He's off the injury report.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked. So we expect him back. I wonder if it'll be starting. I would let Jalen Wells keep starting.
It's crazy that we joked about him eating the Keith Lee wasabi worm.
You joked about that.
I did joke
about that. I didn't joke about that at all.
But, George, you know what that is? You get the reference?
Ridiculous.
Okay, so that's why I rock with George, because, you know, you are basically in a cave when it comes to that reference. Keith Lee ate a piece of sushi that had a worm
in it.
Worm,
I've gathered.
But Marcus Smart said today he had food poisoning. That is what knocked him out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was an extended bout of food poisoning. So I'm not sure, you know, what was going on with him. Maybe never eat that again. If it's going to take you out for a week and change.
Harrington said it was that, and then he had to get back into conditioning.
Oh, right.
Right. So you had to get back into, like, preseason conditioning again.
Right.
Because this thing was so bad.
Well, he had to get into conditioning in the preseason.
He had what y'all got at y'all's house. Y'all got a worm in the home?
RSV, dude.
RSV.
No joke.
You're sure it's RSV?
Yeah.
Not a worm.
Because we did the COVID test. We did the flu tests.
I hope y'all did. Are we RSV clear on you? Did we get a clip?
This man say he doesn't know, George.
I mean,
you're in the other room.
Yes.
You're safe.
I am, somehow.
Yes.
Can y'all hear that?
That's the...
The plastic. It's really not protecting me.
Exactly right.
We just joke that it does.
I mean, you know, it's just with the young kids, man. It's like trial by fire.
We get it.
You know, just trying to keep Damo safe.
How excited are you and Mike Miller tonight about Ja's return?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this Grizzlies team is more exciting when he's on the floor. I mean, there's no question about that. They've managed pretty well without him, right?
I mean, I would say so.
They treaded water.
Yeah, considering how well, too, they measure up in terms of your offensive and defensive numbers with the rest of the league. I think you're still top 10 in both. Defensively,
but 5-3 without him? I mean, that's about as good as you could hope to be.
Well, I think you know, a big part of that, and we didn't discuss it. It was a win over the Bulls that, you know, probably you just look back on the end of the season, nobody remembers. But Scottie Pippen in that game, 30 points. That's part of this. That's part of why you've played so well without Ja for the most part, is because of how well Scottie Pippen Jr. has played. And he's continued to be efficient. He's shooting 40% from three and gets a big one there, you know, in a place that I know is special to him, certainly up at Chicago, with those 30 points. But you also had, what, 26 from Jalen Wells. So part of this has been, you know, guys that you certainly weren't expecting 56 points from in a regular season game. Mm-hmm. That's part of why you've been so successful without Ja.
Yeah.
Now you'll hopefully, what, just the second time this season have Bane, Ja, Jaren on the floor. I mean, that's what the Grizzlies are about.
Yep.
It's sort of been this thing we've all said, oh, man, can you just get back there?
Exactly.
Finally, hopefully, and as John said, the key here is that it's going to be an extended look, we hope. And this isn't a deal where you get one back and you're missing another one.
Yeah, I mean, you like we talked about. You know, I tuned in a little bit. You had Hunter Hasbeen in studio. I appreciate you having him in studio to talk about.
I like your name. Is that what you would have called him? That's a good one. You should have texted me that. I would have used it.
Well, I wanted you to kind of swim on your own.
I did more than swim.
You know, I
had him a little intimidated.
It definitely felt personal. There's no doubt about that.
It was. It was genuine. This wasn't a bit.
You know, between you and him.
Unfortunately, I had something come up, son, and I couldn't get out there and get the apology face-to-face for Christopher.
Gotcha.
Heard that thing went off well. Our man Herd was out there with his daughter.
So
they had a beautiful
That's
time.
Awesome.
Yeah, they set us up out there. I missed it, but apparently everybody had a good time.
Yeah. You had furnace issues. You were You were what staring at your entire family?
I'm staring at myself in the mirror right now, wondering how this all gonna get paid for. That's what I'm doing.
I appreciate it. It's very relatable, man, because you know that's how it used to be for us. We ever had like AC or furnace go out when we were kids, man. It was like a world war, bro.
Right.
We didn't know what the hell we were gonna do, man.
Thankfully it warmed up yesterday. You know, because that home had been chilly.
See, you can thank Donald Trump. I mean,
yep,
for
not
his
just in the
climate
bed,
policy.
All through the home.
And it's so warm in November.
That had nothing to do with Trump.
That you don't even have to worry about
break.
The furnace. But no, listen, I'm not trying to get political with you today. You know, we're just going to keep it
you and George can do that after the show.
We're just going to keep it to the Grizzlies here. They have an opportunity to create some further separation, right? I heard you talking about the next, what, five games? You know,
Four now.
Blazers, Pistons. Pelicans,
all under 500.
We'll see if Luka's back. You know, by the third, no guarantee of that. I think that game got flexed off though.
Did it?
So I'm assuming that he will not be back, because if Ja is back, they would not have flexed that if they think that Luka was playing. That would have been a mistake. So I'm assuming he will not be back for that one. You know, on the third. So you got opportunity here to pick up maybe four wins, possibly all of them. To be honest, because the Pacers, are not nearly as good as they seemed to be a year ago. And that game is at home, too. So you got an opportunity with Job back in the fold here to really kind of submit yourself into the top six here.
I think it's important that you do, especially in this West. Obviously, a little bit more breathing room in the East, but that, you know, being where you are, you can't afford to be not take advantage of this opportunity, especially because you feel like you've let a couple of go. You know, the two against the Nets, the one against the Bulls early this year. You obviously avenged that this weekend. And last time you played Portland, that's worth bringing up too. It was a blowout win, 134-89 out there back on November 10th. He had seven players finishing double figures. Here's, I think, what's worth bringing up. In that game, you started Scottie Pippen Jr., Jalen Wells, the two guys we mentioned that played so well against the Bulls and for the most part have been great all season, Santi Aldama, Brandon Clark, and Jaren Jackson. Tonight, theoretically, you will start against this same Portland team, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. Question on Marcus Smart or Jalen Wells, to me, I don't think it's much of a question. I think you start Jalen Wells either way, then Brandon Clark, Jaren Jackson. Much more, starting with the big three that you didn't have when you played Portland the first time and absolutely manhandled them. That's what's different here, and that's what hopefully is we used it yesterday. We talked about it last week. This feels like a sort of runway opportunity for the Grizzlies here that where maybe by the end of this thing, you know, you've rattled off five, six in a row, hopefully. Again, remember, all of these at home, too, in terms of these next games against these sub-500 teams. So hopefully a time to take advantage. We mentioned last week with John, we were hopeful you would get Ja Morant during this time. It's time to take off, man. It's time for the plane to take off. You know?
Yeah.
Especially with all these guys back. I imagine there's going to be a little bit of rust between the three of them. Again, just one game this season you've had them. But, man, I can't say enough about what the role players have done to sort of keep the keeping it afloat is not enough credit for them. You know, to be 10-7 at this point, to have the numbers you do defensively, offensively, I think it's a real credit to the front office, particularly with Pippen and Jalen Wells. Jalen Wells has been phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Is he still number one on the rookie ladder?
It was Edie Jalen Wells last I looked, but the issue is
McCain
and Connect have come up.
Yeah.
But he played, I mean, Jalen Wells continues to play well.
Yeah.
But McCain and I'm imagining Connect's going to be on the way up.
Yeah, so the last one was McCain, then Wells, then Dalton, yeah.
Yeah, and see, Edie's, you know, going to fall while he's out of the game.
I told y'all that y'all should not be betting Zach Edey as rookie of the year. Nobody wanted to listen to
you. Said it was a bad bet.
Yes.
Right. And it does look like there's a good chance he's not going to be the rookie. But what, was it a bad bet?
Well, at that moment it was.
Okay.
Because like it had already been, he was like, it was like.
I remember that day specifically.
He was like 7-1. Like, yo, like he, you know, that value is all the way gone. Let's look at it now. McCain is now the favorite, -150. Doth connect 3-1.
Let's be real too. His you couldn't have foreseen
it's
because
injury.
It's exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. It's the opportunity he's getting.
No doubt. And you didn't who could have known that Tyrese Maxey was going to miss the time he missed.
Now connect, you know.
You could have maybe seen that one coming.
Yeah.
But again, it's like
everybody said going to be was a steal and going to be a
was,
good
he was
player
be a bench
on,
guy though. You know, like how many bench guys win that award?
I mean, 6th or 7th.
Yeah.
We said how many of these guys are going to actually be starters on decent to good teams.
Edie and Wells basically have the same odds. Not basically, but they're close. Edie is 20-1. Jalen Wells is 25-1. So, yeah, dude, man.
Jalen Wells is borderline, like, amazing.
Yeah.
To be doing. Dude, he 10 of 14 in that Bulls game, 6 of 10 from 3. He adds 6 assists, by the way. Yeah, they did. Them two carried you.
Yep.
Yeah, Jaren added his 23, but to get 56 from Pippen and Wells is absolutely crazy. No one could have seen it coming this season.
Yep.
And certainly not from Jalen Wells.
DeJounte Murray will come back, by the way. He'll be back for that Pelicans game. So maybe that's not there'll be no Zion, but they'll be a little healthier.
I think it gets more discombobulated with him and Ingram together.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to have the ball?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was such a weird deal.
It was. Because like you're kind of waiting on the next one, and it never came.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what the plan.
We're waiting on Ingram to get shipped out, I think, is what we were all waiting on.
Yeah, totally. Because you're right. It's just too much repetition. Is it still David Griffin there? Yeah.
Yeah, he's still from.
I typically have had a high opinion of him, you know, as an executive, because I'm pretty sure he was the Cavs guy as well.
Yes. Yes.
And is not. It is just not. It has not been. And it's not been great for him in New Orleans. It feels like tougher job, I guess, when you don't have LeBron.
Jalen Wells instead of Marcus Smart tonight, right?
In the lineup?
Yes.
I mean, I think he's earned it, man.
I do too. And you, I mean, Smart. We know he's coming back from the, you know, from some nasty stuff. So the worm, as John says. So
yeah,
no need.
The wasabi.
No need to push him back into the starting lineup for some, you know, some preview.
Again, that has not been confirmed that it was Keith Lee. That it was a worm.
That's why I attributed. Oh, it hasn't.
But it was moving in the video. It was indeed moving. It's very difficult to do a show with somebody that's not on TikTok, and they have changed.
My wife tried to send me a TikTok link the other day. Look at something. I said, "Honey, don't send me this."
Right, like you.
But she rarely listens.
You
to anything I say.
You put out this sort of image of I can't open it because I'm not on TikTok. That's what you say.
Yeah,
that is what you allege.
It's my way to sort of stay out.
Right, because
but it does. If when I hit that link,
yeah.
It takes me to the TikTok app on iPhone, you know, download it.
Right.
So, no, I'm sure I could see it another way as a preview, but, you know, I don't want to see China.
It's just there's a lot on there. There's a lot on there that, you know, that you can learn.
Again, how come you aren't encouraging me to go to Blue Sky, which apparently is just beautiful? Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
It's positive.
It is positive.
I should have joined this weekend, had other people ask me, are you there yet? It's like they're welcoming. It's like they're saying, come on, come to a, you know, Gabrielle Union is there. She's welcoming. She's beckoning me in. I feel like George is there the way he's smiling.
I'm not, but just this conversation is a very similar one to one I had with my dad this weekend. It was, stop sending me links to TikTok. TikTok is the devil. And I'm like, see, but the thing is you have to curate it. I don't get some
right.
of the, all the same stuff that I'm getting from other people. They're sending me crazy stuff. I'm like, I just want to see people cook and, you know, play guitar and do cool stuff like that that I'm interested in.
We're learning more about
not all
George
this.
Every day.
He wants
cook
the,
and
yes.
guitar strumming.
Cooking. Are you single, George?
I am.
There you go. George, not for long. You keep coming on the radio talking about that. Are they going to be
I
in,
like cooking
gonna,
and music. What can I say?
They're going to be in your DMs, man.
Yeah.
Before this show's over.
Yeah. They're going to be in your DMs, man. Yeah, I mean, you sort of create your own experience as opposed to, you know, they.
That's
you
what you guys.
Elon about. Tries to tell you that you create your own experience on Twitter.
No.
You really don't.
No.
You know, you only control your following, right? That's. But Blue Sky, I like it. It's a little boring. It's a little
Well, the news hasn't gotten over there yet.
It hasn't. But like, you know,
it'll come.
I kind of need, I've gotten so used to it, I kind of need a little, you know, grating. I do. I kind of need a little resistance every now and then.
Cool.
Problem is, you know, Twitter X has gone a little it's too much.
Right.
So now I have none over at Blue Sky. So I kind of need that in between. Twitter used to be that in between. Mm. And then again, it just kind of slowly drifted in far too far. Now everything is just hateful. You know what I'm saying? A little hate is fine. A little, you know, like, well-placed, well-meaning hate, I'm fine with.
Help develop thick skin.
I'm fine with that. But it's like when it becomes every single response, you know, is when you lose me. So I'm still cross-posting, you know. I'm still working on both.
Yeah, I looked at your mentions the other day, and it was all, most of it was normal. But then it's like, go to hell!
Yeah, dude, I mean,
you get a little bit more. It's where it is.
No,
I was, what the hell?
I know.
What's wrong with these people?
I don't even be tweeting that much. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about my personality that just brings it. But maybe it's not even just me. Maybe it's just the app. I think it's totally.
Yeah, I think I was more considering it evidence of the app.
Yeah, I think that's
going
what it is.
Bad.
So anyway, yeah, John Morant back tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Very exciting day.
Welcome back, my friend. We missed you. And we look forward to certainly, you know, taking off and, you know, stacking up some dubs. Where are they at right now in the West? The Clippers are really 11-7. That's crazy. They're seventh. They're technically seventh behind the Nuggets. So, but the Nuggets have not played as many games as the Grizzlies. So they have a slightly better win percentage. That's the reason why. So,
yeah, but I mean, you're 1.5 games behind third.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point, is that you can
well know, said.
A few wins here in a row, which they should be.
Yes.
I said 4-1 during this 5-game stretch that included Chicago of the sub-500 teams. You need to at least go 4-1.
Yeah.
I think that's what it needs to be, especially now that we know Ja Morant likely back.
Yeah, so the Clippers aren't real to me. They'll fall off. The Lakers, you've already seen. I don't know if you saw that Rachel Nichols-LeBron exchange.
I did not.
After they lost whoever they lost to recently.
Two in a row from them.
It was either
they were 10-4.
It was one of the two losses, but like
10-6.
JJ Redick said he was gonna like go home and, you know, watch film late into the night, right?
I so can't wait for the shine to come off him. The shine that you gave him after what?
Well, it already has.
Three wins.
Because Rachel Nichols asked him about it. She was like, she asked LeBron about what JJ said. She was like, so do you think that's like for him to like be so bent out of shape about a one NBA loss? Like, do you think that's sustainable? And he was like, Rachel, I don't know. I'm a player. I ain't never gone home with no coach. So I don't know. Like, you could already see,
Their point diff sticks out in a negative way, yes, among the winners they're with.
Oh,
that's the problem. They're fourth in the West, but they're minus a half a point in point diff.
You could see it.
It tells you a lot
you could
of
see
what's
coming.
About to happen, that they're not true.
Absolutely.
They are not a true contender.
Absolutely right. I mean, they lost to the Magic at home with no Paolo.
They'll be in the play-in. I think they'll be in the play-in by the time it's
done. That's where they exist. They're forever a play-in team.
Well, that's what Jeannie wants. She just wants to as successful as existence as they can have for LeBron the rest of his time.
But yeah, like LeBron's like, I ain't never gone home with no coach. And somebody said, you sure? He's like, yes, I'm very sure. Like it was a weird exchange, man. It was a very strange. That's your liberal.
Someone
media.
Really asked him, are you sure?
Yes,
you
bro.
You know what's to do that?
I'll find the audio.
They followed up on Nichols' question with are you sure about going home with a coach?
Yes.
Dang! They out there questioning the king.
That's exactly right. So
I didn't know it had gotten to that extent.
Yeah. So anyway, lest I, roll over and die here on the air, we got to take a break. AAC football
it's great.
Yeah, never better. So we'll talk about that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.